You and I have been talking on and off for a couple of years now about the lack of gratitude our nation shows those who have donated part of their bodies or part of their minds in the name of protecting our country and who have come home hurt, injured, wounded, broken. Our country makes a promise that we'll take care of the people who serve our nation in uniform, and then they come back here and we screw them. Not all of them, not all the time, not every time. We had been talking about an odd way that the Pentagon is saving money, cheating people out of their benefits, saying, oh, you got part of your head blown off, well, That's interesting, but we think really the reason you're unfit to return to active duty is because you have a personality disorder, and you had that when you joined, and we just didn't notice it. But that's what we're going to send you home with, the benefits for a personality disorder. Oh, wait, we forgot to tell you, there are no benefits for a personality disorder, but that's what you've got, so go home and shut up. Very common, increasingly common, that Uncle Sam will tell someone who has come back and needs help that he and his family will get no help is not fair. It's not right. There was a good article in The Nation on this topic by Joshua Kors, who is a freelance journalist of unusually high quality. He has written for a lot of publications that you and I read and respect. And in the Nation article from the April 9th issue this year, the headline, How Specialist Town Lost His Benefits. And Specialist Town, who had given a good chunk of his life to military service, is sort of an example of what's happened to so many people. I'm talking about thousands of people. When it comes time to treat them fairly, we screw them. Throw them into the trash bin. Send them home. I want to welcome to my radio program Joshua Kors, the writer. Joshua, good morning to you.
Good to be with you, Brad.
Thanks. I'm sure glad you wrote this story. How did you get interested in this?
Well, I started out doing a series of profiles of veterans returning from Iraq for a local veterans organization. And when I got to John's story, it just didn't make sense. He was very near a missile explosion. And so after going mostly deaf because of that explosion, they diagnosed him with a personality disorder. And I said, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. And the more I investigated, I spent 6 months looking into these personality disorder discharges. Turns out they're using that discharge for all kinds of things, from deafness to schizophrenic delusions to, in one case, the soldier I spoke with, Richard Dykstra, he had a bilateral hernia. They called that stomach problem a personality disorder. And the reason for doing this, of course, there are a multitude of reasons. First of all, it's cheap. If you discharge someone with a pre-existing condition of a personality disorder, you never have to pay them disability or medical benefits for the rest of their life. And also, it's fast. If they wanted to discharge these soldiers properly, give them a medical board to evaluate their wounds, it would take about 6 months. They can wrap this up in about 5 days.
Doesn't a personality disorder have to be a pre-existing condition, meaning you had it when you joined?
It does, and that's the absurdity you hit on in your introduction when you said, oops, we didn't notice. Soldiers going to fight in Iraq are screened twice, first when they join the Army and second before deploying. In all of the cases I looked at, neither of those screenings, according to the Army's own medical documents, discovered any irregularity at all. It's only when they come back from Iraq with serious wounds that suddenly the pre-existing condition is discovered.
When combatants come home from Iraq or Afghanistan, they want to go home, and they want to get out of the hospital as soon as they can. And some of these men, and I guess women, are told, look, there's a way, if we say you have a personality disorder, we can get you out of here fast, and you can still get your benefits and all that, but it's just a hell of a lot quicker, and you get to go home, so sign this. And they forget to tell them, apparently, there are no benefits. We got that wrong. We're sorry.
Well, it's actually worse than that. All of the soldiers I talked to said they were directly told by the doctors who treated them at the military hospitals that they would get their benefits, that they would get medical care from the VA, they would get disability pay. And there's a little salt on the wounds there, too, because through a personality disorder discharge, they also have to give back their signing bonus. That meant in Specialist Towns' case and in many others, after giving back that money, they leave owing the Army several thousand dollars.
Yeah, his bonus for re-enlisting.
That's right.
Yeah, his thank you from the nation.
Yes.
This is so disgusting, and there are reasons that the thousands of people who have been sent home on a Chapter 513, which is what we're talking about, don't fight it, don't appeal it. Don't get their classification changed. And I want to talk about that when we continue our conversation with Joshua Kors, a freelance journalist whose article in The Nation is what we are talking about. He's a good writer. You can go to his website, joshuakors.com. That's KORS.com. See some of the other stuff he's written. Brad on KTSA News Talk 550 talking about the horrible policy that the Pentagon has pulled out of its rectum. They're treating soldiers who have been wounded in combat as though they didn't have a physical wound, as though they had a personality disorder, and cheating them out of their benefits and sending them home. And we're talking with writer Joshua Kors, in this case about Specialist John Towne, who had been in the Army, I think, 7 years. He's over in Iraq, and a rocket blew up near him and injured his head. And now he says he can't remember stuff short-term. He says, I'll be driving places, and then I totally forget where I'm going. Numbers, names, dates, unless I knew them before, I pretty much don't remember. And when he went back to his desk job at Fort Carson, according to this article in The Nation, quote, he found himself straining to recall the Army's regulations. People were like, what are you, dumb? And I'm like, no, I'm probably smarter than you. I just can't remember stuff. He says, they don't understand. I got hit by a rocket. And so when these unfortunate military people are sent home with a Chapter 513 separation because of a personality disorder, and obviously that isn't what their problem was, because it's supposed to be a pre-existing condition, and they didn't have it when they went in. And how the Army can say they have it now and they had it before they went in, when the examinations when you go in say they didn't, is ridiculous. So it ought to be easy to get this thing reversed. But Joshua Kors says, oh, no, it ain't easy at all. What's the deal on having this reversed, Joshua?
Well, it's a long haul, as you can imagine, as one of the inside Army officials told me, basically, as soon as the commanders push for this and the military doctors go along with it, it's carved in stone pretty fast. And I think there are two halves to this that really need to be looked at. First of all, when these doctors in the Army purposely misdiagnose these soldiers, there's the human cost. In John's case or in others, you have soldiers that are completely disabled. One of them, William Wooldridge, I spoke with, can barely leave the house. Now he doesn't have the disability pay or the medical benefits to support him in the coming years. But the second half of it is the numbers, and those need to be really appreciated. In the past 6 years, 22,500 soldiers have been dismissed under this personality disorder. And to examine just how much money they were saving by cheating these soldiers out of a lifetime of disability and medical benefits, I looked at Harvard professor Linda Bilmes' study on these costs, they're going to be saving $8 billion in disability pay over the course of these soldiers' lifetime and $4.5 billion in medical care. That's a lot of money.
It's just, it's unspeakably vile is what it is. Since you wrote this, and others have written about this also, and I've talked with other people about it, particularly in some of the veterans' organizations, are you getting any feedback to the effect that maybe this could be changed by somebody?
Well, I think the only way it would be changed is through congressional hearings. Right now, the military officials, ones I spoke to over months and months, either one, they claim they're unaware of it, or two, you just get flat denials. It would be great to see this issue pushed into the public sphere so directly that those flat denials simply wouldn't cut it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, Congress is, very conscious of spending money on the military. They just put together this emergency war spending bill and put $50 million in it for the Democratic Convention in Denver and $50 million for the Republican Convention coming up in St. Paul. And spinach farmers are in that, but I don't see the veterans who've come home and need help in there. There's something wrong.
The wounded veterans have very little lobbying ability, that's for sure. And even those in the Senate who are aware of this problem are giving kind of mixed indications of just how dedicated they are. For example, Senator Kit Bond was involved in a meeting with the Deputy Surgeon General where a veteran's associate who I had worked with for this piece presented John Towne's case and others like him. Senator Bond floated the idea of a congressional hearing, but later did not return phone calls to either me or this veteran's representative. That's the kind of lack of action that's going to get this case nowhere.
Folks, if you'd like to read this story, it's simple to find. You just go to Google and type in the search phrase, How Specialist Towne. Not even the whole headline, How Specialist Towne Lost His Benefits, just How Specialist Towne, and it's the first thing that comes back. It links you to the article in The Nation. Joshua, I know you're going to stay on this, and I'm going to talk to you down the line and follow up. Thanks for being on today.
I look forward to that.
All right.